this morning. We're looking at Jeremiah. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the calling of Isaiah. Last week, we had Dave Narveson speak about the parable of the sower, of the seeds. And today, I thought it fit that we look at the calling of Jeremiah. So we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. I'm not sure if the show was on, if you could just... Well, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I was formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go on to everyone I send you and to say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I will appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Oh, Heavenly Father, as we look at your words this morning, the call of Jeremiah, just give us wisdom and understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that, you know, God is calling Jeremiah here. You know, he tells him, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And it's thought that Jeremiah was somewhere between 16 and 20 years old at this time. You know, pretty young. Now, can you imagine that, receiving a vision, a call from God, when you're just a teenager? And so Isaiah, or Jeremiah, goes, whoa, I am too young. You know, I can't do this. You know, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm just a child. I don't know how to speak. And we see this reluctance. You know, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Now, at the beginning, maybe we could call him the reluctant prophet. You know, and, you know, I think he would fit well today with us. He's reluctant. Reluctant to talk. Reluctant to share God's word. You know, by most of us, I would say, by nature, by culture, by denominational heritage, we are reluctant to talk about Jesus Christ. We are reluctant to talk about our faith. So there was a sociological study done a number of years ago of Lutherans. It concluded and said that 90% of Lutherans rarely or never spoke to anybody about their faith in Jesus Christ. Now you might go in, but we're not like that. You know, that must be for the Lutherans who are baptized and are just on the church rolls, and they never go to church except on Christmas and Easter. Well, in this study, they also did a poll of active Lutheran churchgoers. People who went to church 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. Now, I think by any definition, we could say that that is active, going 3 out of 4 Sundays. And in that study of active churchgoers, 3 out of 4 Sundays, they asked this question: how often do you talk about Jesus? 40% said never, 35% said rarely, 13% I talk with my family once a month about Jesus, and 12% of parents said I talk with Christ once a week. Now, that's kind of staggering. 12% of active churchgoers who say that they have a relationship with Christ talk with their kids once a week about Christ. 7 out of 8 don't. In general, the Barna group poll, they asked this question, do you agree? I have a personal responsibility to share my faith. I have a personal responsibility to share my faith. In 1993, 89% of Christians agreed with this. In 2018, it dropped to 64%. The newest poll in 2023, 52% of Christians agreed that they had a personal responsibility to share their faith. So almost one half disagreed that they had any personal responsibility to share their faith. We can go north. Lifeway did a poll of 1,000 active Canadian churchgoers. And only 43% said that they had a personal responsibility to share their faith about Jesus with non-Christians. But 78% said that they had never shared Jesus with anyone. And only 10% shared their faith with one person in the previous 6 months. Now, we're not going to take that poll here. But I wonder, would the results be any different? And this sermon today, by the way, is going to make you uncomfortable if you're not already. My job here, my goal is not to make you feel happy, to feel joyful. It's to bring the truth and the Word of God to you. Sometimes that involves conviction. So Jeremiah was this young prophet, the young spokesperson of God. At the beginning, he was reluctant. He didn't want to talk with other people about God. In other words, he was a good Christian. Probably went to the temple regularly. And he was reluctant to speak with others. His excuse was, I'm too young. I can't talk with others. But God says that you will be a prophet to the nations. And some people right away, well, they hear, prophet, well, that's not me. I'm excused from this. Good. I can just stop listening right now. They might be thinking prophet, a paid preacher. Someone like me standing up in front of you today, who has received training, who has received education, somebody who has been trained to talk about God, that has studied the Bible. Maybe when you think of prophet, you think of somebody like Billy Graham, like Tim Keller, somebody that has a lot of people listening to him, and you can say to yourselves, well, I'm not a preacher. I haven't been to seminary. I haven't done this training. Therefore, it's obvious to everybody that I am not a prophet. Well, Jeremiah had not gone to seminary yet. He never went to seminary. He had on-the-job training. In Acts 2:17, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. A prophecy from Joel. When it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, it means on all humanity, on all people. And he goes on and basically says that young and old men, young and old women, young and old male and female alike are my prophets. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been given the Holy Spirit to live in you, to convict you, to guide you, to help you. And the message of Pentecost is clear. All Christian people, men and women, boys and girls, young and old, male and female, are called to be prophets, called to be God's talkers. Not just the paid preachers, not just the famous ones, but all of us. You know, we see that the word prophet, it refers to a specific part of the body, the mouth. In Isaiah, there was an angel that took a coal from the fire, from the altar, and touched it to Isaiah's lips. In this passage with Jeremiah, we see that the Lord reached out his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth. A prophet is God's mouthpiece, God's talker. When we talk about a prophet, we don't visualize somebody, we don't visualize hands and feet that are serving, somebody willing to walk the extra mile. You know, these things are important, but the word prophet specifically refers to God's mouthpiece, to speaking. And most of us, we would prefer just to let our hands and feet do the talking. There's a famous quote that's misattributed to Francis of Assisi. You probably heard it. I could probably ask you. It says, you know, preach. I didn't add it in. It said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I just heard this a couple weeks ago. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with this. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. But people love this quote because they feel it gives them a pass or an excuse not to be able to say anything. I don't have to verbally share about Jesus Christ with you because I'm just going to help you with my hands and I'm going to do some act of service. That is a cop-out. It is an excuse. Francis of Assisi actually never said this. Most scholars think that. There's no evidence that he said this. You know, Francis of Assisi talked about the importance of preaching and talking as well. Now, we would much rather just let our mouths be quiet. And you know what? I am just going to go down to this area after a hurricane, and I'm going to help with the chainsaw, and I'm going to help rebuild. And that is needed. So I'm not saying that. You know, James says that faith without works is dead. What I would say this quote is really saying is that our actions need to match our words. That we preach, we share about Jesus, and our actions should show that as well. When we do something in the name of Jesus, when we give somebody a cup of cold water, when we visit somebody in prison, we can say, I'm doing this because I'm a Christian, because I believe in Jesus. So in addition to our hands and feet doing the preaching, our mouth should as well. You read the Gospels and you see the importance of talking. Yes, Jesus healed people, but he also did plenty of teaching. He also did plenty of preaching. You know, we need the hands and the feet, and we need the mouth. You know, go, you will be a prophet to the nations. So when we hear the word nations, that might bring to foreign nations like Japan, Taiwan, or Chad. You know, a prophet to the nations means to go to other nations and tell them about Christ. So I'm excused because I haven't had the call to go overseas. Well, the word for nations is ethnos, an ethnic group. Any group that doesn't know Jesus Christ. It can mean Gentiles, those who don't believe in God. Now, I don't know about where you live, but there's probably people there who aren't like you. in Lake Mills, there's a lot of opportunity for English as a second language teachers. There's classes there. North Iowa Area Community College is looking for people who will teach ESL classes because there's people there who don't speak English. We have the opportunity right around us to speak with people who aren't like us. We don't have to go to a foreign country to find somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. A prophet is a talker, a mouthpiece of God that can stay right where you are and speak to people about Jesus. You know, so these excuses, well, I am not a prophet, that's somebody else. A prophet must be a paid preacher, a religious big shot, or I just want to use my hands and feet and I don't want to actually speak. I just want to let my hands and feet do the talking for me. You know, I don't feel called to go overseas. All those things lead to reluctance and avoidance that the calling that God has given you. You know, when we're reluctant to talk about God, God's ways, with our relationship about Jesus, we are in good company. You know, Jeremiah, certainly reluctant. I am only a child. I'm too young. I'm too new at the faith. What will my friends think about me if I tell them about Jesus? You know, they're not going to listen to me. Maybe they'll make fun of me. Maybe they'll ridicule me and reject me. You know, I'm afraid of being rejected. And so, like Jeremiah, so many of us are reluctant to talk about faith because we think, I am not equipped. I'm too young. I'm too old. You know, I'm afraid of rejection, afraid of ridicule. You know, God told Isaiah, I want you to be my prophet, I want you to be my talker, to tell people about your faith in me. And Isaiah said, no, not me. I'm a person of unclean lips. I've done too many bad things. I live amongst a people that are full of evil. You know, I use bad language, I'm a bad example, I'm a lousy disciple. You know, how could I do this? You know, God called Gideon to free the Israelites from the Midianites. Gideon replied, not me, Lord. I come from the weakest tribe. My family is the weakest. I have a poor education. I only went through grade school, maybe junior high. You know, how do you expect me to talk to somebody who's more educated than I am about Jesus? How do you expect me to talk to somebody higher up in the company about Jesus? You know, I don't know enough about the Bible. I can't possibly talk about Jesus. You know, yes, that excuse, I don't know enough about the Bible. If I only had more knowledge, I would share. You know, that's been used for a long time. And then there was Moses, a reluctant prophet. He found all kinds of excuses as well. He said, I have a speech impediment. I stutter. I don't talk very good. It can't possibly be me. You know, it's interesting. Moses is 80 years old. He didn't say, I'm too old. But he said, I've got a speech impediment. I stutter. I'm not good at talking. I'm embarrassed to talk. But you know what? My brother, Aaron, he's a good talker, Lord. He's smooth. You know, I'll get him to talk for me. And so this excuse of shyness has also been used for thousands of years. You know, but God wouldn't take no from any one of them. From these reluctant prophets, you know, God was able to overcome every one of their excuses. And we're a lot like Isaiah, Moses, Jeremiah, Gideon, We have all kinds of excuses. We have all kinds of reasons that we are not going to share our faith. And yet Jesus says very clearly, if anyone denies me, I will deny them before the Father. You know, we are to profess our faith in Jesus Christ, not just with having a cross outside our door or maybe on the wall. And then we're waiting for people to ask us, oh, why do you have this cross there? No, we are supposed to go to others and talk to them. You know, like God did with Jeremiah, God reaches out and he equips us. He gives us courage. He touches our hearts. He touches our minds. He touches our spirit. You know, God uses people like you and me. He uses people like Moses, who have a stutter. He uses people like Jeremiah, who is young. He uses people that we would never choose. And God has done mighty things. All these people that we call the heroes of the faith, Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they are people that God has equipped. The reason that they are special is because of their relationship with God. God has equipped them. You know, very few of us naturally share our faith. In fact, I might say even none. If you look at people like that, it might be that God has given them that gift to do it. And so we learn from others. If you spend time in prayer, if you spend time with God, spend time reading the Bible, you know, we are strengthened in our faith. You know, so we pray that God would touch our hearts, that God would give us courage, that God would give us boldness, that God would give us, you know, ability to take the initiative. You know, we have a message that is worth sharing. Last week we learned that God spreads his message everywhere. And it's not going to run out. But we have this message. It is the good news of God's love for the nations. A message that brings life. You know, it's the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and because of that, we have life. That Jesus has defeated Satan, that he has defeated death. So when God called Moses, he said, I will be with you. When God called Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. When God called Gideon, but I will be with you. When God called Isaiah, now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. To Jeremiah, I will be with you and protect you. And I could go on and on about this. There is a common theme here. God has called us, and he will be with us. You know, we have a message that's worth sharing with the world, with the nations. It is a privilege that God has given to us. And know that God isn't throwing you off in the deep end, saying you need to learn to swim or you're going to drown. No. God is with us. Will people reject you? Yes. Will people ridicule you? Yes. Will people persecute you? Yeah. But we actually have it pretty good here in the U.S. I don't have to worry that my village is going to kick me out or that my family is going to kill me because I turned to Christ. You know, so we might face hardships for being a Christian, for sharing the gospel. But we have the promises that God is with us, that he will equip us. And what's interesting, what he told Isaiah was not, I will be with you. He said, your sin has been removed, or your guilt has been taken away, and your sin is removed. That's the message to share. You know, Jesus' last words to his disciples were this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, there is a promise there. God is with us. You know, we are not alone. But Jesus will be with us always. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we confess that we have been reluctant. Reluctant to tell other people about you. Reluctant to share our faith. Lord, we confess that we have all these excuses. And they're just that, they're excuses. But I thank you, Lord, that you have called us. That your son Jesus died on the cross for us. Because of that, we have life. That our guilt has been taken away. Our sin is removed. That we have life and can stand with you. And this is good news. Good news that you have given to us to share with those around us. You know, that is our mission as a church, is to seek and to save the lost. To be a light on the hill, so that people will see you and glorify you. So Lord, I just ask that you would give us courage, give us boldness, drive out the excuses that we have. I thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to equip us. Lord, may we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance. And Lord, we just pray that your name would be glorified among all nations, among all peoples. Lord, we just want to see your kingdom grow. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.